Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy this morning, please. Fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to read two verses this morning, verses 19 and 20 in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to read aloud as you read along silently. And as you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God. And if you're not able this morning, please remain seated. That's fine. But in honor of the Word of God, we stand as we read the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 19. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. Thank you for this challenge, even as we read the text this morning from the text itself. But Father, I pray that you would bless our pastor this morning as he comes and preaches to us from this text. Use it to help us today. Help us to be better for being here today. Help our pastor, anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task ahead. And Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning or listening on the internet this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle it today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I'll ask that you turn your cell phone off, please. If you'll look up here, you see on this wall up there, see that little thing sticking out of that wall over there? And see that little thing sticking out of that wall over there? Those are actually cell phone sensitive lasers. And if your cell phone goes off, that'll burn a hole right in the back of your head. So please make sure your cell phone is turned off this morning. We'd really hate to have to sit there and smell burning flesh, all right? So we would appreciate that very much. Subject's one word this morning. Choices. Choices. When you go to a restaurant that you would go to regularly, do you always order the same thing? To me, if it's good, why mess with it? To my wife, she still has to look at the menu. And then she has to make a choice. One day we were sitting there a while and the waitress was waiting to take our order. And I asked the waitress, I said, ma'am, do you have a menu with one item on it by chance? And then you could possibly give that to her and we could all eat before I starved to death. You know, the truth is choices. We live in a world today where there are a lot of choices. You had choices about going to church this morning. You had choices about what you wore to church this morning. You have choices most likely about what you're going to have after service today for a meal, as it were. A lot of choices, hey? A lot of choices. And some of them are difficult choices to make because of options. You ladies understand color better than men do. We understand color like this: black, white, red, green, and blue. We have no idea. Peach is a fruit. And no man knows what mauve is. Absolutely no idea what that is. None. We got that part. There are times when people are making choices. When I was asking the couple, Sammy and Lindsay, I did their premarital counseling for them, and I asked them what the colors in the wedding were. And I'm still trying to marry. Coral and navy and gray. Coral. See, I'm seeing these guys walking down the wedding, down the aisle wearing stuff from the ocean. chunks of coral hanging off of them. What color's coral? He's a man. I think it's in the pink family, isn't it? No? Red. Some guy said red. You're out of the club, pal. It's an orange color? Okay, I don't want to hear about it. All right, I don't care. I don't care what color coral is. I don't care. I know it's in the ocean. Okay, I'm that smart. So you understand what I'm saying? Choices. You go to buy paint. God help you if you go to buy paint. There's 400 shades of green. Choices. Okay, some of them are complicated. Some of them are difficult. Some of them are hard to figure out. I got that part about choices. Now look in your Bible this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. Now here we go. The children of Israel are about to go into the promised land. This is second generation Israelites. First generation Israelites, they got to the edge of the promised land having been delivered miraculously and incredibly by the grace of God from Egypt's bondage. That first generation Israelites, they got to the edge of the promised land and they were getting ready to go in, and they sent out spies, and we all know how that went. It didn't go well. It's a committee. Committees mess everything up. And so that generation does not go in because of fear, and they go back to the desert, and God makes them do circles in the desert for 40 years till that generation dies off. Now, the next generation raises up. They go back to the very spot where their parents stood 40 years before. And here, the whole book of Deuteronomy is Moses teaching them what your parents learned, what they needed to know and understand. And then he's telling them what they need to know here. And he says, now you're going to be asked if you want to cross the Jordan River. Please remember, the Jordan River is like a creek. It is. The Sacramento River is three times wider than the widest spot in the Jordan River. And God says, you're going to cross the Jordan and go in like your parents did. Will you be willing to do that? Or are you going to do what your parents did? And then he gives them, we'll look at Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 19. God, through Moses, he gives them a couple of choices. Let's see. Verse 19, Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you. Okay, here's choice one. Life and death. Okay, look at me. That's a tough one. Tough. Life and not or and. You get one or you get the other one. Look, life and death. One more choice. Let's see, verse 19, please. Blessing and cursing. Tough choices. You say, well, no, Pastor. I mean, if I had to choose between living or dying, I would probably, no, you wouldn't probably. If the choice, look at me, the choice is so simple and so clear and so definitive. You would choose life. Now, here's the saddest part about this. Go on down a little bit later in the verse 19. He says, therefore, choose life. You mean he has to tell them that? He has to tell them, choose life. Therefore, choose life, he said, that both thou and thy seed, that's your children, may live. You mean a choice is clear and as definitive as life and death? God has to tell us which one of those two to take. Hey, between blessing and cursing, God has to say, I'm going to give you the choice of one or the other one. Some choices, people, are difficult and complex, require thought and consideration. Some choices are simple as can be because they are so definitive and clear and simple. Good night, people. The choice between life and death. Choices this morning. I'm going to talk to you about simple choices. This is not going to be a doctrinally deep sermon. Don't know how to do those anyway. But here's the thing this morning. The choices. I'm going to give you a few choices God gives us today, and that you and I, we still need to make these choices though. But hey, they won't be complicated. I won't have to give you the Greek and Hebrew on them. You won't. You'll get it real clear. But you'll make those choices this morning. Choice number one that God gives us from his word, heaven or hell. heaven or hell. That's the choice when it comes to this next life. Heaven or hell. Now, if we know anything about the Bible, we know what heaven is. Heaven is a twofold place. First, there's the heaven that is. It's called the paradise of God. Beautiful place. We don't know a lot about it. We know it's beautiful, and we know it's unbelievable. Yesterday, I was flying back from Washington State, and I was in the airport, a couple of different airports, three different airports, and they were showing on the TV the wedding over in England. $48 million on this wedding. People riding around in coaches doing like this, and guys and horses that look like they should be bellhops in front of a hotel, and all this kind of stuff. And I looked up, I saw it, I go, oh yeah, what's his face, he's getting married. And I noticed everybody in the airport was either standing or looking at the television set, watching it. Maybe you got up at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was to watch all the stuff that went on, whatever the case may be. And they do it up big. I mean, you got to admit, these people know how to put on the dog, as my people used to say. I mean, they got stuff. They got bells and whistles and gold and braid, and they got a train. I thought that was something went down the tracks, but they got a train behind the dress that cost $50,000 and took 200 hours of work to do, and the dress with the thing, and then the coach and the carriage, and then the cars and the thing with the thing, and then you see all the gardens, and I've been in England several times, beautiful gardens and mown grass and all that kind of stuff, very pretty. I can assure you heaven today makes that look like something in your backyard. That's how beautiful heaven is. No sickness, no sorrow, no sin, no Satan. Beautiful place. That's heaven. And then there's hell. Place Jesus described as a place of torment and suffering. You know, Jesus preached 13 sermons on life after death. He preached 12 of them about hell. As beautiful and as amazing as heaven is, hell is just as awful and even worse. The second place of heaven is the place Jesus is preparing. It is a city of exact dimensions, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep. Gates of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, streets of gold. It's a place of specific dimensions. That means there's a limited number that can be there. Don't worry, there's enough room for everybody if they're willing to trust Christ to get there. But the Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. It gets bigger every day because multiplied millions step from this life to the next, and the first breath they draw is in fire and torment. The health and life you leave this life with, you enter hell with. Person that dies is addicted to drugs, they go to hell and they still desire it. It's a place of torment and suffering. There are not words in the English language for this preacher to be able to describe for you how awful this place of hell it really is. It's not a cuss word. It's not the grave. It's not just some existence. It is a literal burning pit of fire, and people drop into it and they are burnt but not consumed. Unbelievable. And the same God who made this beautiful place called heaven made that awful place called hell. And in this next life, you have one choice, whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. That's your choice. We'll say, well, nobody would choose to go to hell. Pastor Johnson, I've had fools tell me that. You know, they're big, tough people, usually guys. Well, if there's really hell, I'm going to go down there and party with all my friends. You're an idiot. You're a braggadocious fool of an idiot. So I don't appreciate the statement. Then accept it for the fact that it is, that you're an idiot if you believe that. Ain't no party in hell, friend. It's a place of horrible torment and suffering. And did you know something, dear people? Listen to me very carefully. In this life, you choose which one you're going to go to. Nothing said in the next life about whether somebody goes to heaven or hell. It's determined here. And the choice is this. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14. One of the disciples standing there said, Lord, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, in reality, you don't have a choice between heaven and hell. You have only the choice of heaven. Hell is already determined for every, listen to me, hell is already determined for every living, breathing soul on this planet. It is already determined. Because that's where we have to go to pay for sin. But Jesus came and died in our place to pay for our sins, to purchase for us eternal life, so we could have forgiveness, so we could know salvation from hell. So now in this life, guess what you and I get to do? We get to choose to accept Christ or reject him. And accepting Christ guarantees you will go to heaven. Rejecting him guarantees you will go to hell when you die. So what's it going to be, heaven or hell? Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, if it's that simple and that clear, no, there's no if to it. It's a fact. Jesus talked about two men who lived and died on the same day. One's called the rich man, the other one's Lazarus. Lazarus was a beggar, and he was taken by the angels to Abraham's bosom in heaven, the paradise of God. The rich man died, and he woke up in hell and torment and fire and suffering. Jesus talked about these two places. Interesting. Nothing in between, no purgatory, no halfway house, no almost, no grave. He's talked about how one died, went to the grave, and then in hell. He woke up in hell. All this false doctrine junk about soul sleep and all that, that's not biblical. Sorry, but that's wrong. The moment you die, you instantly enter eternity. And you are either in hell or in heaven. And what you do right now, today, if you've never settled this matter of receiving Christ as your Savior, will determine whether or not you will go to heaven or you will go to hell. It's not about being members of churches. It's not about being good people. It's not about good works. It's not about honoring days of the week. It's not about what you are or are not. It's about this. Are you willing to simply, in a simple repentance of faith, trust Jesus Christ's payment of the cross for your sins to save you from hell and ask him to do so? You say, something that big can be that simple? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says, beware lest Satan beguile you of the simplicity that is in Christ. One of the things I noticed yesterday, and I've noticed in some of my travels, is you go to some of these places in Europe where they build these incredible cathedrals. I mean, they're unbelievable in their beauty and their structure. And they were all built with the idea of this is supposed to point us up to God and lift us up to God. And they're all depending on their church for this matter of getting themselves up to God. I got news for you, friend. You could be sitting on a stump out in the woods somewhere and realize you're lost, turn to Christ, trust him, and get saved. You don't need a cathedral because you got Christ. Hey, hey, it's that simple. What will you do this morning? Heaven or hell? So, well, Pastor, only a fool, knowing what hell really was, would choose that. You don't have to choose hell. You just have to reject Christ. Hell is already chosen for you. Oh, but good news this morning. Heaven can be your home. Heard a song this morning and we're getting ready for church. I've never heard it before. We're going to find it. It's called Heaven is After the Last Goodbye. Man. After the last goodbye is heaven. You got people over there? You got people in heaven this morning. Wouldn't you like to know for a fact that heaven is on the other side of your next breath? See, that's what God wants you to know. Hey, hey, heaven or hell. Verse 19, gave them another simple set of choices. Blessing or cursing? Let me see. Blessing would be like the help and enablement of God in my life. Cursing is not being cursed at or cussed at. Cursing is not having that. Okay, now let's think about that choice for a moment. Let me see. The help of God, the blessing of God, the provision of God, the protection of God, the hand of God. And to be cursed is not to have that. Well, that's another simple one, isn't it, huh? Right? Not complicated. I got it. Do you want the help and blessing of God in your life? Or do you want to not have it? Well, come on, Pastor Johnson. I mean, you may be irreligious this morning. You may have no religion in your life. You may have no care for God or anything else in your life. But even a smart man would look at that and say, well, I would prefer to have the hand of God. I'd prefer to have the help of God. Or do you prefer to try and do it all on your own? You one of those self-made, arrogant people? I made myself who I am and what I am. Yeah, that's your problem. Look at me. Self-made people about that big, about that wide. Self-made. God made people like those folks like back at the start. When God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, he's just dirt. And by the way, before you get too high and mighty, you remind yourself every now and then, that's what you are. You're a pile of dirt, friend. All we have to do is look at you 1 year after you're dead, and guess what? You're still a pile of dirt. Formed Adam from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. By the way, the body, and then the spirit, and then the soul. You ain't really a living soul without the Spirit of God in you. The breath of God in our lives. Hey, guess what? You may be totally irreligious this morning, have no care for things of God whatsoever, but I'll tell you what, friend. How intelligent do we have to be to say, let me see, the help of God or none? I was getting off an airplane on Saturday. Now, I'm for people coming to this country and all that stuff. I'm okay with that. Some of them need to learn what's called courtesy and manners. And the other one is what's called personal space, which means don't get up in mine, okay? And this man is from the Sikh religion. He had a headdress on. He goes to get off the airplane, and he decided he had to be first in a plane full of people. So he just proceeded to bull his way down the aisle to get his stuff and go where he needed to go. And guess where he had to stop? I'm standing in the aisle. It's a small plane. My head's down like this because of the luggage deal. And I had my suitcase out. I had it on the chair. And I get turned around. All of a sudden, there's his turban right here in my face. And he wasn't looking at me. He was looking down the aisle. Like there's nobody on the airplane. And I'm standing bent over. And there's this lady in the row in front of me trying to get her bag out of the thing. And it was kind of big and heavy. And normally I would do the gentlemanly thing and pull it out for her and stuff. But I got this. And I'm like this. And I looked at her. And everybody behind him that he mowed down to get there wants to kill this guy. You should have seen the look on their face. And he's right here. His ear is right here. And I turned to that lady and I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't help you because this man is in front of me. He never even looked. You know how irritating it is for someone to be rude and then ignore you? People on the plane started to laugh. I just stood there. I wanted to help this lady. I really wanted to help that guy right there. I really did. It was everything I could do to keep from asking him, in your religion, don't they teach courtesy? But it didn't work. On your own or with God? Let me see. Blessed or cursed? Blessed or cursed? Blessed or cursed? Oh, that doesn't just mean you don't get his help. It means you don't get his help for anything. You are on your own. Clear? Or you get God to help you. Clear choice. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It's not that simple, Pastor Johnson. Oh, yeah, it is. Look, it comes down to this. If you want the Lord to bless you, you got to honor him and his word. You got to get on that what's right and what's wrong thing. And you got to do what the Bible tells you to do. You got to honor the Lord with your life. And if you do, he'll bless you. And if you don't, you're on your own. And then he'll turn against you, and now you got God as an enemy. You don't want God as an enemy. You don't want that. Remember that king in the Old Testament, Ahab, the wicked, wicked king? How he went down into that battle to hide himself? He knew he wasn't right with God. He knew it wasn't going. Remember that wicked king who wore regular soldiers' clothes? He went down into the army or down into the battle, and he's thinking he's getting away with something because nobody knows he's the king. And the Bible said a bowman just drew a bow at a venture, and an arrow went boop and just let it fly. And God took that arrow and ran it down to those soldiers and boom, stuck him right between the shoulder blades with it. Amazing how God could find one guy down there in a battlefield. No. See, if God ain't blessing you, he's working against you, and you don't want that. Because there's nowhere you can go and there's nothing you could do. I'm amazed at people who think, well, I'll just quit going to church. What, you think God lives in this room? We talk about omnipresent God. Well, Pastor Johnson, it's just more difficult than do right and God will bless you. No, it's not. It's that simple. So will you be willing to seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and let him add all those things unto you? Are you willing to do all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose? Every promise of his blessing and help in our lives has always got an attachment of some step we need to take in our life. And you may think it's a big one, but friend, here's the deal. Without God, we can't make it. Jesus said that in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. Blessing or cursing? Whew. One more. You're enjoying these two too much. One more. God's will or my will? God's will or my will? Listen, God's plan for my life and all the things that are in it. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now this morning that all the stuff in there is not necessarily something you may want, but it's something he knows you need. He is God, you know, the big G God. He's smart enough to know what we need. Haven't you ever had something happen to you and you said, you know, Lord, I didn't really need that today. Some reason you must have. Whoever walked out to get in the car, go to work, and has got a flat tire and said, thank you. I needed this. I need to change the tire. I needed that. I'm already late for work and now I get to change the tire. Lord, I needed this in my life. Nobody does that. I don't care. Don't look at me and go, yeah, that's me. You're lying in church. You know you don't do that. The truth is, dear people, there's things in this thing of God's plan for our life. It's good, bad, bitter, sweet, high, low. No, it's whatever he desires and designs. For a period of time, as a boy, I lived with my grandparents, and they were definitely old school. Here's one of the areas of old school. You eat whatever we put in front of you. Some of you parents, you save yourselves a lot of trouble if you just shut the restaurant down in your house. They put it on the plate. You ate it. My grandmother worked in a kitchen as a cafeteria in a school, as a cafeteria worker. And when they had leftovers, she'd bring them home, and usually in a one-gallon plastic jug, and bring them home. We live in Pittsburgh over in the East Bay. And one day she brought this stuff home, and I looked at it, and I thought, what is that? She said, it's chop suey, which isn't even Chinese. And honestly, if you ain't never had it, you look at it and go, it looked like about 3/4 of a pound of snot, that's what it looked like. And it had celery in it and bean sprouts. You know what bean sprouts look like to a kid who don't know what bean sprouts are? They look like polywogs. Them little things in the creek. And I look at that and I said, what are we doing with that? She said, that's dinner tonight. I went, oh, no. Put it on crunchy noodles. And I looked at that thing and I thought, ooh. And then the other 1-gallon jug, she brought home butterscotch pudding. That was for dessert. She put a bowl of butterscotch pudding right here next to that head snot. And I'm looking at that. And they portioned it for you. You know, you didn't do one of those. You didn't do that. They put it on there. You're going to eat this. And there was no use discussing it. Well, I don't want to have that. I got an allergy, and I'm not in touch with my inner child and all that kind of stuff. You don't get to do that. They put it on the plate. You are going to eat it. And I'd still be sitting there today if I didn't eat it. Cold. You want to eat cold head snot? Go to my grandparents' house, bro. They put it on the table. You eat it when it's hot. You better get it down. And they put some soy sauce on that. I started eating. Actually, it wasn't too bad, but all I could think of was butterscotch pudding, butterscotch pudding, butterscotch pudding, butterscotch pudding. As soon as I choke this stuff down, I'm going to eat me some butterscotch pudding. Because there wasn't any point. There wasn't any point in arguing the situation. You were going to eat it, so you might as well just go ahead and get with the program. Now, I know that flies in the face of child rearing, where you can't go out in public anymore because some kid takes over an entire 25,000-square-foot Walmart. Sure helped me to learn to shut up and do what I was told. See, there was this plan for life. And there were some things that God had for me was like head snot on crunchy noodles. Bad illustration, huh? There's parts of that plan, God's plan, you may not be real excited about. But I assure you, He knows best. You say, yeah, but see, I got my own plan. That's your choice, His will or your will. And all I can tell you on that one is, if you choose your will over God's will, good luck. Because that's all you get. You'll be, if something turns out right, you'll be lucky. And if it doesn't, you ain't lucky. Well, then I'll take my chances. Can I ask you a question? How dumb is that? Look here. The God of heaven, who knows everything, is big enough to make a plan to fit everyone and fit in that plan and turn out all things work together for good, Romans 8:28 stuff. Can you imagine that? Where I don't have to wonder about it. See, He knows tomorrow. He knows next week. He knows next month. He knows 10,000 years from now. The truth of the matter is, people, and then I'm going to go out and try and make a plan that's going to turn out better than this? You're crazy. Seriously. Like the old preacher said, you're crippled too high for crutches. Yeah, man. Think about it for a moment. No. But see, to know God's will now, well, here comes the condition. Yeah, there's always a condition. Ain't no, salvation's free. Everything else after that costs you something. But that's okay. Condition to know God's will is, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Hey, you get yielded, stay yielded, you'll know the God's will for your life, and you don't want to miss that. Otherwise, good luck, friend. You're on your own. You're going through life with no GPS. Hey? Well, Pastor Johnson, see, that's a tough choice. A tough choice. Let me see. The Almighty God of Heaven's plan or my plan? My plan. I can't even grow tomatoes. All I do is grow worm bait. They just feed worms. I spray enough stuff on there to make it glow at night. Now I got radioactive tomatoes, and I can't eat those. It's unbelievable. I can't get green stuff. Weeds will grow in the cracks of the sidewalk, but I can't get tomatoes to grow in a bucket with fertilizer. And I'm going to make a plan for my life? No, thank you very much. No. It's God's will. Choices. Stand to your feet, please, this morning. Please.